Who are the real people we consider our sages? Who were they in life? What is the legacy they left us? Join Rabbi Danny Sackstein for the next hour as he explores the lives of our Torah giants, the spiritual geniuses who shaped the way we approach Judaism today. That's Focus on Our Sages right now on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. It's our first show this year, the first show of Tavshin Pehe of 5785. And today is the seventh day of Tishrei, it's the seventh day of the new year of 5785 in the month of Tishrei. And that means that we're in Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the 10 days of repentance. So Rosh Hashanah was the beginning of the judgment period for every single individual in this world. And the books were opened in Rosh Hashanah, and if a person's a Beinoni, which means they are somewhere in the middle, which most of us fall into, we're not a complete tzaddik and a complete Rosha, so the judgment remains pending for the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, starts Rosh Hashanah, continues these important days, and ends on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, as we all know, is on Friday night and Saturday, the 10th of Tishrei. Candle lighting for Yom Kippur is on this Friday afternoon at 5:54. The fast comes in at 6 o'clock, and it ends on Saturday night at 6:45 here in Johannesburg is when Yom Kippur ends. Yom Kippur is a magnificent, beautiful, powerful day, a day of great opportunity and a great gift that Hashem gave to the Jewish people. Yom Kippur is a time where we are forgiven of all of our avaras. Isn't that an unbelievable opportunity that Hashem says, you just do a little bit and I'll do the rest and I'll wipe the slate clean. It will be a new beginning. You'll be cleansed of all of your transgressions, all of those stains on your soul. They will be cleaned, removed, and completely exorcised, and the garment, the neshama, will be clean once more on the other side. What do we have to do? All we have to do is not to do melacha, which means it's like Shabbos. Anything you can't do on Shabbos, you can't do on Yom Kippur. And in addition to that, there's what we call the chamesh inuyim, the five afflictions, which are no eating or drinking, number one. Number two, we don't anoint ourselves with oil, so no makeup, no perfumes, no deodorant on Yom Kippur. You can do it just before Yom Kippur, before Kol Nidre, but not on Yom Kippur, in the night and day. No bathing for pleasure, so you can clean any dirt, but you can't bathe for pleasure. We can't wear leather shoes, and we can't have marital relations. So if we do those five things, as well as no melacha, nothing you can't, anything you can't do in Shabbos, no created activity, 39 melachos, so you can't do them in Yom Kippur as well. And also we should do tshuva. We need to do tshuva. Yom Kippur is all about tshuva, returning to Hashem. We should do tshuva with regards to at least one thing. So tshuva, there's three steps to tshuva. Tshuva means that we identify what we did wrong. We say vidui to Hashem. We don't have intermediaries as Jews. We don't go to any human being. We speak directly to Hashem. So we say to Hashem what we did wrong. We have true remorse in our heart. We have charata. We regret doing that in a sincere way in our heart that we do that. And Kabbalah is we accept upon ourselves not to do that again. So we all, every single Jew, should be doing tshuva on one thing on Yom Kippur. And then when we say the vidui, we're going to say the vidui 10 times on Yom Kippur. And each time we say the vidui, we'll mention many, many things. And certainly we will mention those things that we've done tshuva on. And that's got a tremendous power. So by doing tshuva on the day, it has a great strength, great koyach. And as Chazal teaches us, tshuva magas al kiseh hakavod, tshuva reaches the throne of glory. And it's like drilling. You know, if you're drilling for oil, you just need to drill with one sharp drill and it can get all the way through the bedrock to the oil, and then you've reached the oil. So it's the same with tshuva. As long as we've done tshuva, preferably more things, but at least one thing, it reaches the kiseh hakavod, and that is the mechanism by which, of course, with fasting, with the Chamei Shinuyim and not doing melacha, so that cleanses the slate, that cleans our soul, which is an unbelievable opportunity and a wonderful gift Hashem gave us, and something we should take very seriously, and we should do all we can to enable this process to take place. You know, Hashem is deciding on our year. Are we going to see it through to next year? It's been a difficult year for the Jewish people, and we see how precious life is and how precarious life is, and the gift of life is not given, and it's not something that's in our pockets and that we deserve. It's something that Hashem grants us, and we don't deserve it. Hashem gives it to us out of Hashem's kindness. Because if Hashem held us to the din, to strict judgment, so none of us would get through the judgment. But Hashem gives us the opportunity to cleanse ourselves, and please God, it would be, if we do the small part that we play, Hashem does the 90% of the rest of it, of cleansing our souls. And please God, then we would have another year of life and a year of opportunity in which to develop ourselves and grow in this incredible world. So that's the work we're supposed to be doing on Yom Kippur. And that's what this Fas Emes calls, you know, when we do the video, the 10 times, those are, we do a confession for the transgressions of commission. But this Fas Emes says there's also a need to do tshuva on omission, on those things that we've left out in our life. And what does that mean, omission? What have we missed out? So says Sfas Emes, ki ikar hatshuva hu letaken hashlichus shenishtalcha adam le'olam hazeh. One of the main focuses of tshuva is to repair those things for which we were sent to fulfill in this world. In other words, our life's mission. So, he actually connects it to the famous pasuk in Yeshaya, the Sfas Emes, ki kasher yored hashemesh v'hageshem min hashemayim. It's just like the rain comes down and fulfills its mission, so too we have to fulfill our mission in this world. So we'll discuss that in a moment when we return.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
So how is it that we fulfill our mission in this world? Part of the tshuva we're doing over Yom Kippur is for the, it's definitely for the avarice that we've committed, but also for those things that we haven't done, those things that we need to accomplish in general in our lives. And obviously that means living a life of Torah and mitzvahs, living a life that one is devoted to the service of Hashem. That, first and foremost, is the basic requirement of every single Jew. So our requirement is to fulfill the mitzvahs, is to fulfill the instructions and the commandments that God has sent us. And to achieve that, that's the basic bottom line for every single Jew. And, of course, that is brings one a life of so much beauty and meaning and light and fulfillment and purpose. And that's the starting point for all of us. So wherever we're falling short in that realm, so that's the first thing we need to address in our lives, is to make sure that we're keeping Shabbos and we're keeping kosher and we are fulfilling the requirements of the Torah, of being tzanua, of not speaking Lashon Hara, of loving our fellow Jews, and of fulfilling all of Hashem's commandments. So that's the starting point. But once we've addressed that, so then there's also a broader individual mission that every single human being has been sent to this world to fulfill. And we need to try and identify that. And we see that that's something that many of the great people in our past concerned themselves with and were very focused on. So and were concerned that they fell short of that mission that Hashem had sent them to fulfill in this world. One great example is Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovitz. Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovitz was the head of the Torah Vadaas Yeshiva, and he was a It's customary in many of the yeshivas that before the Yom Ha'aretz, you go through the davening together just to prepare yourself for these great and awesome days. And when he was going through the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah that we've just been through, and he came to the words, Ma'ase Ish Pekudasoi Ba'alilos Mitzadeh Gather, which means that Hashem analyzes the deeds of every human being and their destiny, their purpose, their mission in this world. So he broke down when he was describing this to the students, to his students. And he was concerned that he perhaps fell short of fulfilling his purpose, his mission, his destiny in this world. Now, this is a person, Rav Shraga Feindl Mendelovitz, who he built Torah V'Das Yeshiva, which became one of the mainstays of the Jewish world in America, New York. Not only that, but he also built an organization called Torah U'Mesora. Torah U'Mesora established Jewish day schools around the United States and enabled many thousands of Jews to be connected to Judaism and to learn what we call the Mesora, Jewish tradition and Jewish practice. And as a result of Torah U'Mesora, it meant that a whole generation would receive and understand and still be connected to the Torah. In the United States, when there weren't many Jewish institutions and there weren't institutions of education. So this man, Shraga Feivel Mendelovitz, so he had, by the end of his life, accomplished unbelievable things. He had built Torah V'Das, which in and of itself was a massive achievement. And he had also built Torah Mesora. Yet he still felt that perhaps he felt short of fulfilling Hashem's requirements of even his mission in this world. Another example of that is Rav Avraham Kalmanovitz, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn. And he was responsible for the survival of the Mir Yeshiva in Europe. We all know the famous story of the Mir Yeshiva in Europe, that first they were in Mir, and then they went to Vilna, then they went to Kovno, and they got the visas from Sampi Sugihara, and they traveled on the Trans-Siberian Railway to Kobe in Japan, and then to Shanghai in China. And they were there for the duration of the war, and they all survived unbelievably, miraculously. And I often wondered, how did they support themselves? How were they able to buy food and have clothes and have accommodation? And the answer is Rabbi Avraham Kalmanovitz. He took upon himself the responsibility of supporting the yeshiva through the war years, which was a tremendous challenge. It was very, very difficult for him to raise the funds and very, very difficult for him to get the funds to them in Shanghai. In fact, the FBI were tracking him, and they came to him and they said, you can't send these vast sums of money to an enemy combatant. And he said, I will find a way because these are like my children. That's how he took on that responsibility. It was very, very difficult, very pressurized for him. Yet at the end of his life, his son-in-law was Rav Elias Fay, who was a great rabbi Rosh Hashiva in America. So he testifies and he says at the end of his life, he quoted the words of Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, and he said, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, V'lo yekapeach einav la'aso shluchoy, a person should not veer their eyes away from their mission and fulfilling their mission. U'b'keitza yamim yavo berina v'simcha. And at the end of days, that's when a person will be able to come to Hashem with joy and with exaltation that they fulfilled their mission. And he was crying and he said, I don't think I fulfilled these words of Rabbeinu Yonah in my lifetime. So we see these great individuals, although their impact on the world was so massive, they still felt that perhaps they fell short of fulfilling their personal mission in this world. And that's something that we all need to be thinking about and we all need to be focusing on. So how do we find our mission? How do we define what it is that Hashem wants of us? Well, of course, we said, again, just to emphasize that we all have to fulfill the Torah and mitzvahs. That's not voluntary. That's mandatory on every single Jew. And if we're not fulfilling the Torah and mitzvahs, we clearly are falling short of what Hashem wants us in this world. And we're going to go to the other side being empty-handed. And Hashem will say, there wasn't much I asked of you just to fulfill the commandments of the Torah. And, where are they if we don't have them with us? So we will be very exposed and very humiliated and embarrassed that we wasted our opportunity in this world with all the nonsense and the divergent and the distractions that are here, and we focused on the tafel, on the secondary things, and we missed the ikkah, the main purpose of our lives. But over and above that, so each of us has a unique contribution to make and has a unique mission to fulfill in our lives. So how do we find that mission? How do we identify that mission? So I'm going to, in the old days, in the previous generations, there were Nevi'im, the prophets. You would go to the prophet would say, this is your neshama, this is the tikkun, this is the shlichus, this is the mission of your particular soul. Today, we don't have that. So how do we find our personal mission over and above the Torah mitzvahs? So I'm going to make three suggestions, and they're all based on beautiful ideas I heard from Rabbi Frand when he discusses this topic. The first one is that we should read the messages that Hashem is sending us. We should hear the messages. Hashem places us in situations. Hashem is knocking on the door, and it's for us to hear the knock and to see the messages, to read the messages Hashem is sending us. Sometimes we are so thick that we miss it completely. We obtuse, and we don't hear the knock, and we miss the message that Hashem is sending us. So I'll give you some examples of people who did hear that knock, who did see what it is that Hashem wanted of them. There's a famous woman whose name is Sarah Schneerer. She was a tremendous pioneer in the world of Torah education for women. And she founded the Beis Yaakov movement, which has completely saved the Jewish people. She was a seamstress from Krakow in Poland. When World War I broke out, so the civilians of Krakow had to evacuate because they were by the front lines, and she went to Vienna. And when she was in Vienna, she was a observant woman. She used to go to shul. And the shul she went to was that of Rabbi Dr. Moshe Flesch, and he would speak. And he was actually a disciple of Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. And he would say that there's a tremendous lack in the Jewish world for women's education. And on Shabbos Chanukah, he said something that had a great impression, made a great impression on her. He said, just like the Chashmonaim at that time, there was the call of Mi La Hashem Elai, who's for Hashem? So you need to stand up. And the Chashmonaim did so. And therefore, there were great miracles performed on their behalf, and they saved the Jewish people. So somebody also needs to hear that cry, Mi La Hashem Elai, in the realm of women's education. And she heard those words. And at the end of World War I, she went back to her native Krakow in Poland. And she started classes for ladies in her seamstress studio. And one thing led to another. And that developed into Beis Yaakov. And she opened the first school for Jewish women. And it became a revolution in women's education in the Torah world. And saved our, there's no question that Beis Yaakov has saved Klal Yisrael, saved the Jewish world. The acts of this incredible woman, Sarah Schneerer. And imagine that she didn't do that, and she didn't answer that call. She didn't hear the knock on her door. And she went to Shamayim after 120 years. And Hashem said to her, where are the Beis Yaakov girls? And she would say, Beis Yaakov, I've never heard of such a thing. And Sarah Schneerer, she was married, and she got divorced, and then she got married again later on in life. But she was never blessed to have children. But she has hundreds and thousands of spiritual children. All of those women that attempted Beis Yaakov then up until today, and the hundreds of thousands around the world that attend Beis Yaakov institutions in the Jewish world today, she heard the knock and accomplished her mission. Herschel Weber was a Jew who lived in Brooklyn, and he stepped out of shul one day, and he saw a man had a heart attack right in front of him, and he called an ambulance, but he didn't know what to do. He wasn't trained in paramedics. And unfortunately, by the time the ambulance arrived, he had died. And the paramedics told him that if they were here 3 minutes earlier, they would have saved his life. And somebody who was there, a bystander, said, Herschel, you killed him because you couldn't do anything to save him. And he was very shocked and shaken by this event. And he went to the Satmar Rebbe Zatzal, and he said to him, what should I do? The Satmar Rebbe said you should start an organization that trains people in emergency medical services, and you should call it Hatzalah. And he did it just that. He established Hatzalah in New York, and Hatzalah then became a very well-run institution that spread across the world to Israel and, of course, here to South Africa as well. And if he didn't hear that call, so Hatzalah would not exist. And how many thousands of lives have been saved by Hatzalah here in South Africa and all over the world? So if it weren't for Herschel Weber hearing that knock on the door, it would not be any Hatzalah. So we need to open our eyes and ask ourselves, why me? Why now? Why is Hashem putting me in the situation? And why am I going through what I'm going through right now? And we're supposed to think and see, what is my role? What can I do? What is that? What is that which Hashem wants me to respond to at this moment? Another excellent example of that is one of the most remarkable women in the world. Her name is Einav Danino. Einav Danino is the mother of Ori. Ori Danino was taken captive on October 7th last year. He was an elite paratrooper, but he wasn't in the army at the time. He was attending the Nova Festival. And when the terrorists attacked, he was able to get out. But he realized that his three close friends were still there, and he went back in to save them. And he reached them, and on his way out, so his vehicle was hit by an RPG, and he was shot as well. And his family weren't sure. They didn't know what had happened to him. They didn't know if he was alive. He was kidnapped by Hamas. The four of them were then kidnapped by Hamas. Three of them were kept together. He was on his own. And only days later did his family find out that he was still alive. And his mother then embarked on a campaign to make known the plight of the hostages. And she flew all over the world. And she is just the most remarkable woman. She shared a message of love and of positivity and of Jewish unity and of emuna, of faith in Hashem. And then only a few weeks ago, in an attempted rescue, remember the six hostages were murdered by Hamas, and Ori was one of them. He was murdered after months of captivity. And his mother hasn't changed her tune, and she continues with this incredible message of emuna, of love for Hashem, of trust in Hashem. And she, I've seen interviews of her, which are so moving and inspiring. And she said, I know, I can't understand why Hashem is doing this to me, but I know a father doesn't do anything that is cruel to their children. There's meaning and there's purpose. And I thank Hashem for giving me a son like Uri, and I thank Hashem for being able to bring him up in Eretz HaKodesh, in the Holy Land, and to bury him in the Holy Land. And we as Jews need to trust in Hashem and need to work together and need to continue to serve Hashem as we're supposed to. So here's a woman who heard the cry, heard her call, heard the knock on the door, and certainly is accomplishing her mission in an incredible way. And so we all need to look at our lives and look at our circumstances and at our situations and decipher what it is that Hashem wants of us. What is our mission in the world? And it's very scary because we could miss the messages. We could miss the mission that Hashem wants us to fulfill. And what a pity it would be if we missed these opportunities that we're supposed to take up and grab and deliver in our lives. So please stay with us. When we get back, we'll see how some examples of possible missed opportunities.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
So we're discussing how at this time the focus is doing tshuva. is identifying those transgressions that we need to correct, and we need to change that kind of behavior. We need to change in our lives, and we have tshuva of commission and tshuva of omission. We also are supposed to be thinking in a way, what is our purpose, our focus, our meaning in this world? Well, of course it is, as a Jew, to fulfill the Torah and mitzvahs. But each and every one of us has a unique soul and a unique mission to fulfill in God's world. And that's what we are doing here. And we need to open our eyes and see our circumstances and our situations and work out what is it that God wants of me. And if we miss those messages that God is sending us, so it would be such a pity. A great example of that, of course, would be the great Rav Ovadia Yosef. He was the greatest Sfardi Gadol in the last 200 years, perhaps. He wrote the incredible works of Chaved Das and Yabia Oimer and Chazon Ovadia. And on top of that, he was responsible for a revolution in the Sfardi world, both in Israel and the world around the world, returning glory and honor to the Sfardi world. And he literally rebuilt the entire Sfardi world. And it nearly didn't happen. Rav Ovadia was born in Iraq in 1920. At the age of 4, his family made Aliyah and came to Eretz Yisrael. They lived in Yerushalayim. And he was sent to Porat Yosef in Jerusalem. And at the age of 11, his father decided that he needs him to help him in the grocery store that they ran. They were a very poor family. And he wanted his son now to help him in the store. And the two Rosh Yeshiva of Porat Yosef, Rav Atiyah and Rav Cohen, noticed that Ovadia was no longer coming in, this boy. And they went to his father's store, and they said, we need your son to come back to Yeshiva. And his father said, no, sorry, he's been there for long enough, and now he's 11, and I need his help in the store, and he needs to learn the business, so he won't be coming back. And they said, he is a very special child. He's a very unique child. He will do great things for the Jewish people. Father still wouldn't relent. So Rav Atiyah took off his rabbinic garb, his rabbinic coat, and he took an apron, and he said, okay, I'll come in for 2 hours every day if Ovadia can come back to the yeshiva. And that really moved Ovadia's father, and he said, okay, I'll send him back to yeshiva. I'll see how serious you are. And that's where he became. That's why he turned out to be Harav Ovadia, Chacham Ovadia. So picture the scene in Shemayim that if Rav Atiyah didn't take off his jacket and put on the apron, so Hashem would have said to Ovadia, the grocer, where is your Yabia Oimer? And what of Shas and of the great return of the Sfardi Jews, their tremendous return to honor and glory. And Ovadia would have said, I'm not sure what you're talking about. But we see, Baruch Hashem, that the call was heard and he literally changed a major sector of the Jewish world. So one thing that we need to do in order to find our mission is to pick up on the messages that Hashem is sending us. Another way to detect and find out what our personal mission is in this world is to see where our talents lie and to identify our strengths and our abilities, whether it be in Torah and Chesed, in communal needs. And we all have a contribution to make to building the Jewish world. We see this actually from Bezalel in the Torah with regards to the Mishkan. So what happened to the Mishkan? So the Pasuk says, the Torah says, Hine karasi b'shem. Hashem's referring to Bezalel, who built the Mishkan, the artisan who built the sanctuary. And it's the Pasuk says that Hashem, I called Bezalel with his name. But we look in the Torah, there's nowhere that Hashem called Bezalel. So our sages explain that Hashem says, because he had the abilities, because he was such a skilled artisan, so that was Hashem calling him. In other words, based on the skills that Hashem gives us is our calling. That's what Hashem wants us to bring out and contribute to the world. There's a famous incident with Rav Arya Levine. Rav Arya Levine was the famous book, Ish Tzadikaya, Tzadik in Our Time. It's a wonderful book. I recommend you reading it. It's about this holy person, Rav Arya Levine, who lived in Jerusalem. And Rav Arya Levine was legendary for the chesed he did, the kindness he did, and he used to visit the prisoners in prison. Many people were imprisoned at that time for political reasons. The British mandate was in control of Israel at the time. It's before the state of Israel. And Rav Arya would go visit those Jews in prison. And not only those political prisoners, he also would visit, you know, common criminals. And every Shabbos afternoon, he would go to the jails to visit, to bring things to the Jewish prisoners and to strengthen them, to give them hope and to give them inspiration. And one day he said to his wife, he had a legendary relationship with his wife. They were very, very close. And he said to her, maybe I'm missing the point over here. You know, maybe I'm spending too much time doing chesed. And that's causing me to learn less Torah. Maybe I should do less chesed and learn more Torah. Maybe I should have a chavrusa Shabbos afternoon rather than going to the jails. And he went to the Baal HaLesh. And Baal HaLesh was one of the greatest Jews alive at the time. He was a famous Mekubal, a famous Kabbalist. He was actually the grandfather of Rav Eliyashiv Zatzal. He was, the Baal HaLesh was the Rebbe of the Chofetz Chaim in Kabbalah. And he asked the Baal HaLesh. And Baal HaLesh said, look, we don't have Nevuah today, so we can't tell for sure. But what I can tell you is that if you're involved in spiritual matters and you see you successful in those spiritual matters, and they give you sipuk ruchani, which means spiritual satisfaction. So that's an indication from Hashem that this is your mission in this world. This is what you should be doing. So if chesed is working and it gives you satisfaction, so that certainly is your mission. And so that's something that we should all understand and see what we're good at, what we have talent in, and what gives us spiritual satisfaction. I think it's important to mention also that if we have a family, if we're blessed to have a spouse and we're blessed to have children, so what greater mission is there in the world than building a good marriage and bringing up children that are psychologically healthy and stable and that are have Yirah Shamayim? There can't be a greater mission than that in the world. And together, husband and wife, they earn the income to support the family. And they bring up the children, particularly the Jewish woman, takes care of all the physical and emotional needs of the home. Can there be a great accomplishment in life than that? Much more meaningful and much more difficult and much more significant than a career. But to bring up children, to leave this world and to say to Hashem, this is what I've done in this world. This is what I've produced. This is the family that I have. There's no greater achievement for a human being in this world. And actually, we know that specifically from the from Avraham Avinu. The pasuk says, regards to Avraham, ki yadativ leman asher yishmeru es banav es beisoy. That the pasuk says, because Hashem says, why did I choose Avraham? Because I know that he will instruct his household and all of those days. But derech Hashem ratzot tzadokim mishpat, in following the ways of Hashem, I know he'll pass on the tradition to the next generation. There could be no greater achievement than that. So that certainly is for a Jew to fulfill Torah mitzvahs, for a Jew to bring up a family, al taras hakodesh, in a holy way. So there's no greater achievement. There's no question about that. And if we understand that, so then we'll do that. You know, there's a phrase, this person's on a mission. This guy's on a mission. When we know that that's our mission, so we will give it the focus that it deserves. We'll have a plan. We'll understand each child, and we'll approach us with time and with wisdom and with patience. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
So perhaps a third way that we can identify our personal mission in this world is to ask Hashem to show us that mission, to ask Hashem, to daven to Hashem, to turn to Hashem as we do with all of our needs, as we should do with all of our needs. And we should also ask Hashem to help identify in our minds what our purpose and mission is in this world. And Chazal actually gave us one more compelling reminder of the importance of finding our mission on Yom Kippur. And that's Yom Kippur afternoon, where we do Maftir Yonah. The Haftorah on Yom Kippur afternoon is Yonah, the great story of Yonah, where Yonah, and the Mishnah Berurah actually in Shaar HaTzion explains about Yonah. He says that Yonah, the story of Yonah is to teach us that Hashem gave us a neshama, and that soul is sent to this world to complete a mission, and it's our duty and responsibility to fulfill that mission. And if we don't fulfill that mission, so we'll be sent back again and again, we'll be reincarnated until we fulfill the mission. And it's not good for the soul to have to come back all the time. It's better to fulfill the mission first time round or as soon as possible. And that's the story of Yonah. Yonah, he had a mission. He had to share this prophecy, but for whatever reason, he didn't want to share the prophecy. So he goes onto the ship and he tries to run away, and it catches up with him on the ship, and then he's thrown overboard, and then he's swallowed by the whale, and he can't get away from his destiny, that he has to fulfill his mission. That's the message of Sefer Yonah. And that's a powerful message that all of us should be thinking of at this time on Yom Kippur. So again, just to go over what we've said. So this time, Aseret Yemei Teshuva and Yom Kippur, we should be returning to God, and God in his great kindness cleanses the slate and gives us forgiveness for all of the stains on our neshama. And but so we're addressing the particular actions we've done, and that's the video we do 10 times throughout the day, and we should all pick one thing at least to do tshuva on, which will be the means, the mechanism through which our whole slate is cleaned. And of course, no melacha and the chamesh shinuim, the five afflictions that we observe in Yom Kippur. But also we look on a broader sense at this time at the general tshuva, the returning to Hashem, the fulfilling our life's mission in this world. And how do we find that life's mission? So we suggested three different avenues. One is to try and be sensitive to the messages that Hashem is sending us, to see our situations and our circumstances and where Hashem is directing us. Secondly, to see the talents and abilities and gifts that Hashem has given us. We all have strengths, and we all have areas where we can make a special contribution. And finally, to turn to Hashem, to daven to Hashem, to ask Hashem for clarity and direction in fulfilling Allah's mission. And in Mirza Hashem, we should all identify that, and we should all first and foremost be observant Jews and fulfill the Torah and mitzvahs, and in particular, find our own personal mission and contribution to the Jewish people and to the world. And please, God, Hashem should bless us all with a tshuva and with a kapara, with repentance and with a cleansing and atonement for all of our veras, and bless us with a year of success and a year of good health and a year of peace and a year of bracha, of blessing. Thank you so much for listening. Wishing all of the listeners Gemar Chasima Toiva and a wonderful year of Hashem's blessings.